Government comes under fire as former SIGA boss waiting to dismissal of managing director of SIC Insurance Company, calling out the presidency for failing to adhere to best corporate governance practices.
You need to get to the board first. This is not a solely government responsibility to change. You need to consult the board, and the board must take a decision. In most cases, in fact, in the company law, it is even a point where you go to the annual general meeting to change.
We'll bring you details of that as the SIC boss drags government to court, challenging the termination of her appointment. All of that coming up here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, there's stiff resistance to government's decision to terminate the appointment of Managing Director of SIC Insurance Company Limited, Holista Dia Yintumi. She's already in court challenging the decision by President Mahama to replace her with Mr. Ajani Mboating, whose appointment took immediate effect on January 27. In her writ to court, Madam Dia Yintumi argues that her appointment was contractually secured for a four-year term, set to expire on 1st January 2028. And she's arguing that whilst that date has not come, it will be difficult for anybody to terminate her appointment, unless probably you follow due process. We'll get that details for you shortly. But let's take a listen to former Director General of the State's Interest and Governance Authority, Stephen Asamoah-Boateng.
You need to get to the board first. This is not a solely government responsibility to change. You need to consult the board, and the board must take a decision. In most cases, in fact, in the company law, because this is applying the company law too, it is even a point where you go to the annual general meeting to change. That's how it works. That's the way it should be working.
Do you think the law has been breached in this instance?
It's not a question of law. It's a question of corporate governance. The law is there. I mean, I can see in this particular case, from the little I've heard, the outgoing MD has a contract for 4 years. So when somebody has a contract, there's a legal aspect of how you break that contract. So that's a separate matter. So that even complicates it. So it's not the law. It's a simple matter of corporate governance. And that's what we've all been trying to get Ghana, the businesses in Ghana, especially the ones that the government has interest, to abide by corporate governance practices. Mm. So it's more than the law. It is a practice of being a good corporate governance system where we all know that this is the way to do things, and so that we can measure the performance of businesses of the state that brings in money. It's not just appointing by appointing. What is the effect of the appointment? Is there going to be a profit-oriented businesses that we are looking at, or just putting people in places where they don't work? That's the key issue.
So in the face of corporate governance, has there been some breach?
I think they should go back and get to the board, convey a board meeting, and let the board make a decision on that basis. If the board wants to terminate the appointment, yes, then they will go through the process of board decision-making and terminate the appointment of the outgoing MD.
So that's the former boss of SIGA, Stephen Asamoah-Boateng. He'll be joining us later on. But for now, lead data analyst Isaac Kofi Ajayi joins me in studio with some details of her rate. Kofi, what is the outgoing MD of SIC challenging with regards to her termination?
Well, Kojo, so it is very simple. According to her, she has a contract that ends in January of 2028. And so if you want to terminate her contract, she believes in the rate that, I mean, this must be communicated at the company's board meeting. And she says that, I mean, because of this termination, she has run to court asking that, I mean, the state insurance company, SIC Insurance, should pay her gross basic salary of 840,000 per annum, which that salary is subject to an annual upward review of some 15%. What we've been trying to do, Kojo, is to also go through how much she's demanding for breaking this 840,000 gross per annum remuneration, trying to understand what is the details as she has provided in that rate. So we are looking at her gross basic salary. This is some 70,000 Ghana cedis per month, right? So you have that total package of 840,000 Ghana cedis. That's a gross for the entire year. But if you break it down on a monthly level, she's earning somewhere 70,000 Ghana cedis per month. And she is requesting for this money. You have to do the calculation until January of 2028. Right? Let's go down and look at her clothing allowances. 84,000 is what is actually quoted in that rate. 84,000 per annum. Looking at her entertainment allowance, she is requesting for that 7,000 as indicated in her contract per month. And then also her canteen allowance of somewhere 850 Ghana cedis per month. Professional allowances 1,200 Ghana cedis. And then also you have her house help. She's also demanding for that allowance of 3,000 Ghana cedis. Personal security, 3,000 Ghana cedis. You also have a gardener, 2,000 Ghana cedis. And her annual, familiarization tour to any destination. This is a take or leave, condition in her contract. That's some $3,000 per air ticket. That's the maximum that she can actually withdraw from that. Official trips, that will be somewhere around $810 per diem. And this is what she's requesting for. And we've been trying to do the math to see how much will be the total in this period that we are looking at. January of 2025, when the contract was terminated, to January of 2028. If you do the math, the gross salary, and we are doing this with a margin of error of 5%, so we are 95% sure of this calculation that we are doing, we are looking at somewhere approximately 3.9 million Ghana cedis. That is the gross, Kojo. Okay. Now, if you look
from now to January,
the basic salary. Okay. Mm. We are looking at a gross of somewhere roughly 3.9 million Ghana cedis. Her basic salary will be somewhere around 3.4 million Ghana cedis. And her legal fees, she's saying that pay the legal fees, which is 15% of the total package she's demanding for. If we stay within our margin of error, we are talking about some 503,000 Ghana cedis. Mm. That is her demand, and this is what we are learning so far from the rate. So, we also understand, Kojo, that the Supreme Court has actually ruled on this right? In 2019, where the Supreme Court actually ruled and said that the government cannot sack CEOs of government agencies. Why? Mm. Because according to that unanimous decision, it was a 7-member panel of the court, which was presided over by the Chief Justice. Sophia. Absolutely. They held and said that if you look at Article 95 of the Constitution, this was unconstitutional for presidents to go ahead and sack, CEOs and MDs of state-owned enterprises. Okay. And that has been made clear in that ruling.
But it's something we need to do in terms of having a public education on this matter. Mm. When we talk about SIC, who's the owner of SIC?
Well, it's interesting. Let's go into the ownership of SIC because this is a listed company, right? And so that information is readily available. SIC,
because the former MD cites the fact that her appointment was approved by all shareholders at an annual general meeting.
So who are these? That's a great question. The government of Ghana is one of the biggest shareholders. In fact, on an entity basis, government of Ghana has a share of 40% in SIC. SNIT is also involved here, has a share of 11.82% of that share. So if you add government of Ghana and that of SNIT, we are talking about more than 51% of the shares of SIC. There is a certain Daniel Ofori. Daniel Ofori, this is as of 2023, the SIGA report that we are looking at. Daniel Ofori also has a share of 5.91% in SIC. And then also other people who are also involved, other entities, 42.27%. So if you add all of this, this brings you to that 100% shares that SIC has. Government of Ghana, the biggest component of all.
And as we speak, what is the financial stand of SIC?
Let's look at their 2023 report. This is the managerial management report. Let's look at their total assets at the moment. Their total asset at the moment is somewhere around 839 million Ghana cedis. 839 million Ghana cedis, let me put it right. And if you go deep and look at their net profits, over since 2019 they've been making profits, and in 2023 they made a profit of 28.33 million Ghana cedis. Now let's look at their liabilities. Total debt and liabilities of SIC is somewhere around 418.5 million Ghana cedis. So that is the current financial position of SIC according to the 2023 management report.
All right, Kofi, I'm grateful to you. Let's bring in the former boss of SIGA, Stephen Asamoah-Boateng, who's joining us for this conversation here on Top Story. Mr. Asamoah-Boateng, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. You speak about corporate governance, and I want to find out from you, for public education purposes, how different is her appointment from other entities that the state has interest in?
Thank you very much, Kojo, and good evening to our cherished listeners. Kojo, I just took notice of the fact that I think the outgoing MD has taken the matter to court. I spoke to you in the afternoon. I wasn't even aware of that, but apparently she's gone to court. So we all have to be a bit mindful of the fact that the matter is before court right now as we speak. But nevertheless, there are information purposes for me coming from the SIGA end, where I had an insight into state-owned enterprises, SOEs, and also joint venture companies that the government has an interest. I can give some more information. But as I said, without prejudice to the court proceedings. So could you, as we go along, let's be careful about the court matter.
Okay,
but
sir,
from what you're saying, the difference is clear. If it's an SOE, then government can change CEOs anytime they want. My only advice would be that because now we have SIGA, which has the supervisory role, usually it would be advisable for the SIGA Director General to be obviously involved in how the composition of the CEOs, boards are taking place. If that can be done, that would be fantastic for good corporate governance. Because at the end of the day, SIGA would be holding the shares on behalf of the state, even in the SOEs. It used to be held by the Ministry of Finance, but since the SIGA law came in, Act 990, it's SIGA that holds the shares on behalf of the state. So even in the SOEs, my advice would be that the SIGA Director General, the new Director General who has come in, my friend Professor Bessar White, should be involved at every stage if possible. It helps him to have a firm idea and some supervisory role going forward. But when it comes to JVCs, you look at the shareholding capacity available, and as you just heard, the SIC, the government has 40%. That's huge. I think SNIT has 11.
Yes.
So for government point, because SNIT obviously is government, it's 51. So they have a huge advantage. And don't forget, we've just had a change of administration. And so the new government wants to obviously put a firm hold on all the government institutions as well, especially where the business side, where revenue comes in for the state to use for its activities. So I believe the government is obviously looking at all those areas. But there are processes that in each of them you have to go through. As I said, SOEs is straightforward. JVCs, you look at the share structure. So remember, if let me take you back a little bit. When we were passing the SIGA law in 2019, if you notice, the Company Act also was passed in the same year. In fact, SIGA law was passed, company law, on the same day in Parliament. I was sitting there. The new Company Act, I think, is Act 992, and SIGA was 990. Mm-hmm. So you can see how close it was. And it was being, both was being coordinated by one lawyer in Chiakwa. I can't remember, Felix in Chiakwa. So there was a bit of coordination between SIGA law and then the Company Act. So for processes, for the right process to take place, we've got to situate the SIC matter within SIGA as well as bring some company law into it. If you look at the company law, the test schedule, It talks about a public limited company, because that's what it is. It's a PLC. So the board usually have a mandate to decide who's the MD, who's not. So the government can go through the board, and usually that's what happens. Government has a right to appoint, but it has to be right and ratified through the board.
Okay.
If the board has an issue and they are not too sure, in this case, I hear there's a contract available and that it may be terminated or not. If that's the case and the board is not too sure, they can call for an extraordinary general meeting. That can be done. It can be done very easily because the shareholders are not many. There's an independent guy, Mr. Frimpong, who has about 5%. Snakes can be called easily. The government itself can be called. The Minister for Finance can be called in quickly. Or the Chief of Staff. In fact, it can be done. But the process must be done so that it doesn't raise any eyebrows anyway. Mm.
So you agree with the position taken by the former MD?
Well, as I said earlier on, this is before the court, so I won't be backing the former MD or the new MD. I will stay neutral on that till the court decides. But could you, this is for information and all of us education purposes, and especially with my knowledge of how SIGA and the company law was formulated and passed on the same day in Parliament. My advice is that when the new government comes in, they have a right. They have a right to decide what they want to do, especially in this contest. But in so doing, exercising that right, the process must not be overlooked. You understand? And the process in this case is that, look, get a board, they can terminate it, but if you terminate it, don't forget there's a consequence. You understand?
Yeah.
Because I hear there's a contract.
Mm-hmm.
But the board can do that. And also the consequences, they can argue that I'll charge you the details of the financial implication. That can be done. But in terms of making the company profitable and moving forward, this impasse must move on quickly. It shouldn't be dragging on.
Okay.
The new MD coming in must be given the chance to move in through the board. Then the consequence of termination can be discussed later on, maybe through the board or the extraordinary general meeting, annual general meeting or whatever.
Okay. I'm grateful to you. Kindly stay with me. Let me bring in private legal practitioner Alfred Papa Dakwa. Alfred, I'm grateful to you. What does the law say about terminating the appointment of the MD for such a company? She's citing the fact that her appointment was secured for a 4-year term. In terms of the law, what does it say?
Good evening, Kwaju. I think that the first point we need to note is that no law or no court can compel an employer to work with an employee. And at any point in time, an employer can decide to terminate the appointment of an employee. I think with regard to this issue, the challenge is that, as Mr. Samabwating has already said, SIC is a PLC. What it means is that government has shares in SIC, and the public or individuals also were given the opportunity to buy the shares of SIC. And this has been done since 1995. By law, once the company is a limited liability company, the board of directors are the ones who appoint or terminate the position of an MD. Sometimes the members of the company itself, in this case, government and the other shareholders, can convene an annual general meeting and terminate the appointment or appoint a new person. Now, what I think should have been done in the first place was for government to nominate Mr. Ejeni Mbwati for appointment as the managing director. Government can nominate, then the board would look at the nomination, then appoint him. But if government directly appoint him without recourse to the board, then it becomes a bit problematic.
And that has already happened. As you explain, there's a problem there. How best can this be addressed then? Because the former MD is in court challenging this.
No, you know, without prejudice to what is happening in court, once it's in court, I think this is something that can be rectified. They need to meet and find a way to resolve it. It's a process. It's a procedure. I mean, she could have decided to ignore the appointment or her termination and still remain in power because she thinks that what government did was ultra vires. My view is that the government still can do the right thing. It's not too late.
So the right thing means that convening the board of directors to look at the appointment, or rather the annual general meeting?
In any form or shape, government can nominate. Government can just nominate him. Withdraw the letter, nominate him, then the board will take a decision on him. At this moment, the status of SIC is no longer a corporation. Mm. It's no longer a corporation. It's a PLC. Therefore, the old ways of doing things cannot be done at this within this period.
If I understand the education you've given us, it means that the new nominated MD Ajani Mboating cannot even go to the company until the shareholders have confirmed his nomination.
The directors, the board, can approve his nomination.
Mm.
And, you know, I think the problem or the challenge had to do with how he was, how it was communicated.
Mm.
But for all you know, the board has met as we speak. You may never know. But the challenge had to do with how the communication was made.
So the fact that the shareholders would convene and communicate to the former MD, can the new MD, in all the understanding of the law, assume his office as the MD when that has not been done?
I think that one it's a bit of a challenge, considering the law as we have it now.
Mm. If you say it's a bit of a challenge, what exactly do you mean?
You know, I want to, as much as possible, shy away from conclusions. But the point is that the SIC Board of Directors are the ones who are mandated to remove or appoint a new MD. They are the ones who appointed the previous one. Now, government is a shareholder. Government can also do the same by calling an annual general meeting and appoint or remove. But the point still remains that any communication to SIC from government has to be that individual has been nominated to be appointed, not that individual has been appointed. Because the law as it is now, government cannot, as a shareholder, cannot solely claim to appoint somebody or even terminate someone's appointment.
Interesting. So once this matter is in court, and with the understanding we're all getting, what would be the best way to resolve this matter? It looks like the law is on the side of the former MD.
No, I think this matter can be resolved. Government is, like I said, it's not too late. Government can still do the right thing by, proposing Ajani Mboating to the board.
The narrative out there is that the former MD has logged her office and has run away. If you look at the explanation you've given us, if that is the case, is she right to do that?
No, I stated earlier that no court or no law can compel someone to work with somebody he doesn't want to work with. So locking the place, I don't think that's the solution. The point is that it is not her personal property. The office is not her private property. So she cannot do as she chooses. If she disagrees, I think the best thing is what she has done. She's gone to court to challenge it.
Papa, I'm grateful to you. Let me bring in Stephen Asamoah here. So you've been at SIGA before. What would be the advice you give to the SIGA boss and government? Papa says there's a way they can resolve the matter. It's generating some public debate now. What should both parties do to resolve this matter so that we can all move on?
It's an interesting scenario that is emerging, but it can be simply done. I mean, we are human beings. We talk. We communicate. The directors or the board of directors are around. They are not people who cannot be located. They can even call a meeting at 8 o'clock tonight if they want to, or tomorrow morning at 9, and do what the government wants. As I said, it's a PLC. As we speak to you now, if we are not careful and the impasse continues, it affects the profits margin of the company. You understand? There must be calm, quietness, business-like approach in the company now. So when there's an impasse, it affects its profits. And people who have insured their businesses through SIC may even begin to wonder whether the business will carry on and they have to withdraw, whatever. So the quicker they resolve it, the better. Simply put, government has a right, especially with the new government that has come in and eager to make an impact. I don't begrudge them. and they can move. But the process that we've just been alluding to is that to the board, nominate, get to the board, call them. I said, look, I'm getting this person in. This is CV. Look at it. Call a meeting. And once they do, they will take a decision. You understand? And it's, as I said, combined with the government and the SNIT, they have about 51%. I believe the independent person with 5% may not necessarily block government approach. And it can be done. And this can be done very, very quickly. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
In terms of the, as I said, I'm choosing my words carefully because the matter is still before the court, so we don't want to conclude quickly on this matter. Practically, if somebody had been nominated, let me put myself in that situation. For instance, when I was assigned to go to, in those days, it used to be called the State Enterprises Commission, if you remember. Before we did the change of the legal process mm-hmm. and the legislation to mm-hmm. bring in SIGA. I remember when I was nominated, about that very week, I was nominated, I think, on Friday. The Monday or the Tuesday, I called the SIGA, used to be called the director, no, he used to be called the secretary general or something. The very
executive secretary.
Executive secretary, which never exists in businesses. I mean, executive secretary? No, executive director, not secretary, executive director.
Mm-hmm.
Never done it before. And in good corporate governance mode, you don't entertain executive director. But that was the name. So Monday I called him and he invited me to the office. In fact, we are both agreed. I'm coming there. I just want to understand what's going on. And I walked in and we had a very useful discussion. I met all the secretaries. We had a good laugh and we wished each other well. So it was a smooth transition. You understand? And so if there's a government has nominated somebody, there's nothing stopping the person for even contacting the old one.
Okay.
And say, oh, can I come and learn one or two things? Can I come and understand what's going on? Can we meet even over lunch? We shouldn't play this as a political thing. It's not.
Okay.
This
All
is
right.
business. This All is right. business of the government.
I'm grateful to you, Stephen Asamoah Boateng. He is former boss of SIGA. And this has been Top Story brought to you by Telecel, Connecting Energies, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy Holy Sleep. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. Up next is new.